Alrighty, hello everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. We are into NFL free agency week and the tampering period, right? And then tomorrow starts official free agency, so
it's a crazy
week in the NFL. Lots of moves being made all over the league, and we are so excited to dive into that with everyone here. We also have a very special guest joining us tonight from the Kingdom Cast podcast, Miss Kylie Winfrey. So Kylie, I'm going to add you to the stream right now if you want to join us.
Look, I'm in two screens.
She's multi-screen right now.
Whoa.
Did you add her? No, I got it.
He wasn't letting me for some reason. There we go. We got it.
That's okay. We figured it out. Oh my gosh, you guys.
You're on.
I feel like we've talked about this for so long. I was so happy, Lexi, when you reached out. I always love chatting with you guys on Twitter and interacting with you. So to actually be like face-to-face sort of. I love it. I'm so excited. Yeah. There's been a lot too. So there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, right. So much to talk about. So we're so excited to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Finally, into the off season. It's perfect timing, right? So
hopefully the boys won't be too mad. We love you, Kingdom Cast.
We'll get to them too. Don't worry.
But yeah, no, they're good. They are fully supportive. They're awesome. So they're excited about this too.
Yeah.
Right now we're introing the women, right? So then we'll get to the boys later on.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They can wait.
It's National Women's Month anyway. So, you know.
That's right.
I'm your host, Lexi.
I'm Christy. Jody keeps interrupting in her intros.
I'm Kylie. After that amazing introduction from Lexi, I'm Kylie.
There we go.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I have to say it again. I'm just really grateful to be here. So
your boys are saying hi to you.
Hey.
All right, y'all. Well, let's get into free agency because a whole lot has happened in the last 24. I don't even know where we're at anymore, but a lot has happened. And the way we're going to go about this today, y'all who are listening, I mean, because so much has happened, we're just going to go division by division and talk about who left, who came. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? What is it going to be? It's so much. And let's just start off first with the NFC. So the NFC North has been kind of crazy.
Whew.
And I think it's very important that we start off with the Bears because they have made some of the biggest moves so far. Technically, when it comes to spending dinero, they have spent the second highest amount of money in day one. And they've already spent $121 million. So, what's happening with the Bears?
They definitely won the first day of free agency, right? And getting Tremaine Edmonds, like, I know we don't need a linebacker, but I wanted him to go to the, you know, the NFC somewhere because he is a talent from the Bills. So, I'm glad that he found a home. The Bears seem to be really wanting to build around Justin Fields, and they are definitely spending the money to make it happen. So the Bears intrigue me, man. They could be really fun to watch next season. So this coming season, whatever it is. Wherever we are anymore.
2023 season, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead, Kylie. You're next.
I really like Justin Fields. I thought what he did last season was incredible. I thought he came a long way. So I was like, they got to surround him with weapons. They got to get him some offensive line. They got to get him, you know, protect him. So I feel like Ryan Poles has taken a page out of old Brett Veach's book whenever he went and got DJ Moore. And then he got four picks on top of that. I was like, I feel like the Panthers kind of just got fleeced. But, you know. Yeah, but, you know, Brian Poole was out there doing what he's going to do. And, I mean, this is really like his – I guess he was there last season, but this is like really his first season to really be in there and like kind of be in that general management position and get some things under his belt. I'm excited for the Bears. Again, glad they're not in the AFC, but I'm excited for him. I like Justin Fields. I think – and Bears have had a – you know, they've been struggling.
A lot.
So.
They're at Arrowhead next year.
Yeah,
it'll be a fun matchup.
You know that the NFC, they need some good quarterbacks. All the good new quarterbacks are in the AFC for the most part, aside from like Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields. Help me out here. Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins. I mean, you know.
Dak is good.
Dak is good, but like, I mean, I feel like the AFC has the upside on the quarterback. So I'm excited for them to dive into Justin Fields and what his potential is with the Bears. I feel like, you know, I have some friends that are Bears fans and they've just been waiting for so many years for something exciting to happen. And granted, they did make the playoffs, what was it, like 4 or 5 years ago? Sure. I don't know. But they made like a playoff game and it was not, I mean, they've been struggling for a while. So I'm excited for Justin Fields and the future they have there. They have so many good wide receivers on their roster right now. And then they're rebuilding that defense, like you said. So, and then Ryan Poles, I just love that I feel like the Bears in Kansas City, we have a lot of like connections on different people and different things. So I'm excited to see what they do. And my theory for the 2023 season, I could be wrong and we can go back and quote me if I'm wrong, but like, I kind of think the Bears are going to be similar to the 2022 Jaguars.
I was thinking the same thing. So glad you said that.
2021 Bengals for sure.
Yeah, 2021 Bengals. Yeah, exactly. I think it could be a similar season. We could.
I still always talking about the Bengals.
Right.
I completely agree.
They have some great additions. I mean, they added DJ Moore. They added Nate Davis. They added TJ Edwards. And like Kylie said, they have a ton of picks coming up too.
Yeah.
The Lions made some really good moves too. I'm not sure if you guys saw what happened with the Lions, but they added somebody named Alex Anolone. I'm not going to say it. I can't.
There's a lot of hard names.
I can't say it, but you know, I'm really excited to see. I definitely think the Bears are going to win their division. Now, look at everything else that's happened in the division. I mean, the Vikings haven't made a ton of moves yet, unless I'm missing something.
Well, the Vikings have gotten rid of like half their team.
Yeah. So. Let's talk about the Packers.
So,
or lack thereof, since they're trying to get rid of all.
Yeah, lack thereof.
The New York Packers.
New York Packers.
My poor Packer friend, he sent me a text last night and I just could feel the anguish, like the frustration, the annoyance, it's all just pure chaos. And I feel like it has been that way for the Packers for the past, like, I don't know, 3-4 years since Aaron Rodgers became a full-fledged diva. I feel like he's like holding these two teams hostage right now. He's holding the Packers hostage and he's holding the Jets hostage. And it's just, the Packers may not be able to make any real free agency moves because they don't know what is going on with Aaron Rodgers. So I just think the whole thing sucks.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you called him a diva. I know it's been floated around Twitter a lot, but gosh, is he not the biggest diva? He's like got Mariah Carey.
Yes.
And that's kind of hard to do. I mean, we know what she's like, but I don't know. I think if I'm a Packers fan, like, I'm over it. I'm like, just go. Like, let us start our rebuild. Let us move on from this. Because, like you said, he's been holding him hostage. He's on and off again. He's hot and cold. And he doesn't really put any effort into training with rookies that come in or new guys that come in. Right. He just kind of feels like he's all alone by himself and he's not really a team player. So,
right.
I know, like, obviously they lost Alan Lazard today to the Jets. And they've got a couple other guys that are probably going to be leaving. But I don't know. It's rough. It's rough in Green Bay right now.
It really is. I mean, especially because I just don't get how he can hold this much weight to where he can have his LeBron announcement tomorrow on Pat McAfee's show.
I hope he announces it. Good God.
I think he's going to retire. I think he's going to screw both organizations.
Can you imagine?
I can. I wouldn't put it past him. That is
a cool
move that I would expect from him. From his darkness retreat.
He's just so, like, I think what we all saw last offseason was Patrick Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill and then Aaron Rodgers lost Devontae Adams, right? And the difference was that Patrick Mahomes rented out, like, some space in Dallas to practice with all of his free agent wide receivers. And people that have joined us. And then even Travis Kelce and Mecole Hardman joined him, people that have been with him for a while. And he makes that effort to put in that time with his wide receivers and to build that chemistry. And then Aaron Rodgers, he disappears all offseason. And so, you know, you get that. It's like, okay, so if he goes to the Jets, great. You're going to get him for a season, and then next offseason, it's going to be the same thing. Right. You're going to wonder if he's going to re-sign with you, if he's going to retire. And it's just like a cycle, and it's a bit cynical, right?
I'm curious how Jets fans are feeling about all this. Like, do they even want
him? Oh, we'll get to them soon.
I think they want him, but for the sake of, like, maybe hopefully winning a Super Bowl this season. And for me, I can see it going in the direction of either really great or Russell Wilson with the Broncos.
It is not going to go really great.
No. That's what I mean. Well, the thing is, he says that he wants to go to this new team. Cool, you want to go to the Jets. But then you're like, I don't like any of the receivers that they have. And then you're like, I'm bring every single receiver who was with me in Green Bay.
Yet he had no weapons for how long?
This wish list, including OBJ. Like, come on. Let's make it make sense.
You have Lazard and OBJ. Like, you can't physically make that happen. Like,
I hate it. Anyway, let's move over to the most toxic conference in the NFL, which I believe is the NFC South.
Wow.
They are very.
Toxicity from Jody.
She went there.
I went there. And they are. And I don't know if y'all have really been paying attention, but it seems like they're just rotating their players between the conference. Like, what is weird?
You know? Why don't we normally do that?
Why are we doing this? Let's start off with the Falcons, because I would say the Falcons are the third team that has made, like, the most moves already.
Yeah.
Within, like, 24 hours, they've spent the third highest amount of money. They've already spent $108 million.
Yeah.
Oh, and the funny thing about them and the Bears are their Super Bowl odds are still the same. They didn't change.
And the Raiders Super Bowl odds, they all stayed the same.
Yeah.
All those moves made.
So I was like, what are we doing? Okay, anyway. So, yeah, the Falcons. Does anybody want to jump in?
I mean, so they signed Taylor Heinicke, right?
Yes.
Today?
Yes. Yeah. So a 2-year deal.
So I feel like, I mean, great for him. Taylor Heinicke. He's one of those stories that I love in the NFL because he's just such a good dude. He fought really hard to get to where he is. And is he a franchise quarterback? No, but he's a really solid teammate. You can tell the guys around him love him, and he's a great backup. So for that reason, I love it. I guess Desmond Ridder, he's who they drafted last year. So he'll be their starter most likely. But I think there'll be a competition between the two.
Quarterback controversy. Watch out.
I think they're going to get Lamar. That's just me.
And then, I mean, then you have Andy Dalton going to the Panthers.
Yep.
It's just AFC or NFC South. It's just like a carousel over there. Like,
they're just sinking. That's the new thing for the NFC South. They're just sinking.
I don't know. But for the, yeah, the Falcons, I don't know. I mean, I think they should potentially still draft a quarterback, but I also feel like they need help on their D-line because I feel like I was looking at their stats and, like, their D-line got, like, no pressure last year. So for them, I'm like, they have weird holes, and I don't know exactly.
Right. I feel like with the Falcons, like, you don't really know where to start, and they don't really know where to start either. And I kind of feel like that's the way with the whole NFC South. They're all just like, what are we doing? Yeah. What's the plan? And, like, no one's leading the Panthers to just give away what they, like, I was just completely shocked by that trade with the Bears. And I don't know who they're, I don't know what they're going to do with that first pick. I don't think they know what they're going to do with that first pick. And it's just kind of a crapshoot right now. And then the Bucks are just kind of falling apart.
Absolutely. I don't know if they're still
a team?
No, they're not. I don't know if y'all saw, but Jesse Bates signed with the Falcons, which is very, very much interesting because the Bengals, they're little, I mean, they're slowly crumbling too, even though they said they weren't going to lose any players at all this season. And now they're already down two safeties and a running back. And I'm like, hey, you guys might figure out a way to figure it out, and we'll see. But they did have a couple of people who they did decide to keep. You kind of spoke about the Panthers. They did get Von Bell also from the Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals safeties are.
Bye. And Shy Tuttle, 3 years, $19 million. And that DJ Moore, that's real interesting.
Yeah.
Someone said that they think that they're going to trade. No. What were you going to say, Lex? You said something before this started about what you think they're going to do.
Who, the Panthers?
Didn't you say the Panthers?
They got Andy Dalton from the Saints.
Yeah, but didn't you say something about Lamar?
The pick?
Oh, so what I was saying before we started our broadcast, what I was saying to Jody is it could be interesting because they did claim the first-round pick from the Bears. A thought there is that maybe they could turn that first-round pick and maybe next year's first-round pick into capital for Lamar and acquire Lamar Jackson from the Ravens. So that's a thought there. I mean, and for the Panthers, he makes a lot of sense on their team. I feel like that'd be a great fit for him.
They've had a quarterback with similar skills in the past. Yeah. It's not like they don't know how to utilize that type of quarterback.
Cam Newton.
So
I think it would be a great, it's like a match made in heaven. I mean, I still want him to go to the Falcons, Lamar, but I when you said that, I was like, you know what? That's pretty good.
And the Panthers defense actually, I think, is very underrated. But because their offense has struggled so much, you don't notice their defense too much. So I feel like the Panthers, if they got a decent quarterback, I feel like that with them and the Falcons, if one of them get a decent quarterback, they could be a really good team. So, and then you have Derek Carr on the Saints.
I love that for him, honestly. So,
I do too.
The Bucks with no one, so.
I don't hate it. And they
good for him.
Yeah, I know. It's like good for Derek Carr.
I don't know.
Out of the Raiders organization, which is a steaming pile of crap.
I mean, they did re-sign the real Michael Thomas today for 1 year. I don't know if you saw that, but they did do that. So I'm just like, okay, Derek Carr, are you going to be able to get him?
Here's the thing, though. Derek Carr, if you look at his schedule, Derek Carr is known for not being good in the cold, right? You look at his schedule, and like a majority of his games are going to be played in warm weather states. He's going back to Louisiana. And like, I don't know, like, he got a nice little deal and he gets away from the Raiders, who are crazy. So I mean, I don't know if I think it was the greatest move for the Saints, but great for Derek.
You know? I mean, no, completely agree. And I think looking at that, that division, I mean, if there's a place he can win,
that's the division.
Probably there.
I get to feel like a winning division, you guys. That's so sweet for him.
You know, I still don't know who's going to win that division.
But I think that's actually exciting for the NFC South right now because it is, the NFC South because it is so wide open. Yeah. So any of those teams, if they make a few specific moves, I feel like any of them have a chance to win it, which is could be really not exciting or it could be really exciting.
Exactly. Let's move on to the NFC East. They did a lot. The Cowboys for sure did a lot today. The Eagles, I think we should all take a vote and say that they have reverted completely backwards.
Yep.
Like, what in the heck is going on with the Eagles? And I think, I know we're going to talk about the Chiefs later, but I think it just kind of shows how great Brett Veach is, seeing how all of these teams are struggling to keep key players and they have to just, okay, so the Eagles have 18 total players open to hit the market this free agency, and 7 of them are defensive players.
That is so
seven.
Rough.
Can you imagine us losing 7 players on defense right now? That's insanity. They have lost Marcus Epps, safety. He went to the Raiders. Javon Hargrove went to the Niners. They lost T.J. Edwards. He went to the Bears. They lost Kyzie White. He went to the Cardinals already. Like, those are the people they've already lost. And they still have Fletcher Cox in the market and Robert Quinn, who are probably going to get picked up tomorrow somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I did just see there was a trade that just happened Oh, wait, we're on the NFC East. Hold on.
You're like, I'll save it. But I'm not surprised a lot of these things are happening because I expect them to put their money into Jalen Hurts. So that's just kind of my quick thoughts about the Eagles. Y'all go ahead.
I think getting Rashad Penny from the Seahawks could be an interesting pickup. I don't know how great Penny still necessarily is, but, you know, might help him a little bit. Especially since they are, we're assuming they're losing Miles Sanders.
It seems like it.
I agree. I feel like the Eagles have totally reverted. I know it's like there's a Super Bowl hangover when you win, but like I feel like they are definitely feeling that Super Bowl hangover, not being able to retain all those players. Like that is rough.
Yeah. Well, right, exactly. And you come off a season like that and all these guys want to get paid now and they should get paid. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to be hard to retain them. And I think, Jody, didn't you tweet out they only have like 6 picks?
Six picks. 2 of them are in the first, and they do have a second and a third. But I was just like, how the heck are you supposed to retool with all these 6
picks? Like, where are all your picks? Where did they go? Another Veach masterclass. Like, what we've been, five straight years in the hosting the AFC Championship, and then we just come off a Super Bowl, and we have 10 to 12 picks or something crazy? Yeah. Like,
amazing.
Well done.
He's a master. I do want to say on the Eagles, Jason Kelce coming back, and I thought that was really cool because I don't know. I thought for sure he was going to retire the way he was talking at the end of the season after the Super Bowl. I know it was really eating him up, but I was like, will he come back? Because I think he's like 35 and I don't know. I was really excited to see him come back. I like him a lot. So I mean, that's strong veteran presence right there. That'll help them, but they've got a lot of holes to fill for sure.
For sure.
I think one thing Eagles and Chiefs fans can agree on is we love the Kelces, right? So I love seeing Jason Kelce back. He's such a fun guy. I love watching him play. He's so talented. So I love that for them. They did re-sign their running back, Boston Scott. He did pretty well in the Super Bowl. So I was glad to see that for them. But like you said, they're losing Miles Sanders. So that's a big name to be watching.
Yeah. I mean, as long as my theory is, as long as Jason Kelce plays, Travis is going to play.
Yeah.
Travis has got plenty of years left. Knock on.
Well, I know, but it's like, okay, if Jason is 35, then Travis has to stay at least until 35. That's my logic.
Travis 33?
I think so, yeah.
At minimum, he owes us another like 3 or 4 years. That's what I'm going with. Let's talk about the Commanders real quick. We already know that they have our lovely
right Eagle. Tackle. Oh, right tackle.
The enemy.
And now we have our right tackle, which is funny because Chiefs.
And Marcus Kemp?
Yeah.
But Chiefs Twitter, Chiefs social media thought Andrew Wiley was coming back. He was the first one to get a deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Man, we were never gonna pay him what he's getting with the Commanders. I was really happy to see him get paid. I don't know how we would have, I guess maybe retained him, but I thought for sure we were gonna keep OBJ and then get rid of Wiley because we wouldn't be able to afford him. But I'm happy for him. He's with EB again, so that's good for them. And obviously, I want nothing but success for Eric Bieniemy. So whatever they can do to improve that roster, I'm for it.
Yep, he got paid 3 years, $24 million, which is incredible.
Yeah.
So shout out to him for getting that bag. And they did get Deron paid. He was not they kept him. He is now the highest paid DT, making 4 years, $90 million, $60 million guaranteed.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like Wiley and Eric Bieniemy and then Marcus Kemp, they're all just gonna fall right into place with each other. So absolutely. I'm excited for that. Was there one other person they took, or am I making that up?
They picked up
the ones that took our yellow coat guy. Are they?
The Saints took him.
Oh, okay. I still can't remember the guy's name, but he's the yellow coat
jacket guy.
Yeah.
Hugo Amadi or something. I don't know.
Amazi or something. Yeah.
That's hilarious. The Cowboys, they did pick up Stephon Gilmore today. They re-signed LVE, Leighton Vander Esch, for a 2-year deal. And then I believe they re-signed Donovan Wilson, who was a safety for them. And I think they did something else, but I stopped looking at my Twitter for a little bit.
Wait, real quick with the Commanders, who is their quarterback?
Yeah, we don't know.
No one?
It's some like
rookie.
Or he was a rookie, but I can't remember his name.
Howell.
Sam Howell.
Yeah.
That's the only one they have. I don't think they're
re-signing Sam.
I mean, I don't know.
Sorry, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, wait, who's their quarterback?
Do they have a first round pick?
Yeah, they should. I think.
I don't know enough about the Commanders.
I will root from them from afar. Root
yeah. Yeah.
From them from afar. Only for EB. Yeah. I was just thinking maybe they could draft the kid. I don't know. Anyway, I think that's enough of the NFC. Let's get to the AFC.
You were going to say the Cowboys. Was there anything you wanted to say?
There's something else happening that I don't know because I didn't look at my phone. So unless y'all have anything else, I think.
Well, they got that big trade from the Colts today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Okay. Yeah, other than that, I don't feel like they've done a ton.
They got Stephon Gilmore because T.Y. Hilton retweeted it. And then I said, Indianapolis Cowboys.
So, yeah.
It doesn't matter either. I was trolling. Ignore that. AFC East. So, you know, it's a lot going on there. Dolphins, Jets, Bills, Patriots. Start with whichever team you want to start. And we can just go down it. They got a lot going on.
A lot.
I know the Dolphins, they kind of converted a big chunk of Tyreek's contract so they could free up some cap space. And I mean, they've got Tyreek, they've got Bradley Chubb, they've got Jalen Ramsey, they just got David Long Jr., Mike White,
Waddle.
Yeah. I mean, they're working on setting themselves up to be a better team. My thing is though, no offense to Tua. I'm not meaning offense, but it's offensive, so sorry. But like, I just don't think he is the quarterback to take you all the way. And I think you can add as many pieces around him as you want, but he's not going to be that guy. I just don't believe in Tua like maybe the Dolphins believe in Tua. So
who do you believe in more, Tua or Derek Carr?
Derek Carr.
Really?
Yeah. Not kidding. Hot take. I like being
controversial.
Controversial.
I like it. I like it. I agree with you. I don't really have faith in Tua. What's interesting with Tua is that I do feel like Mike McDaniel schemes to his abilities. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this next year. I think the Bills have taken a step back. And then, of course, Jalen Ramsey over there with him twice a year with Diggs and Allen. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And I feel like the Bills just haven't really done much. I know they freed up cap space. They restructured Allen. I think they restructured Von Miller's contract to free up some cap space. So I don't know if they've got – yeah, $36 million, is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's I don't know if they've got something up their sleeve or what. They also lost their defensive coordinator. And I know that people are like, well, if you're a Bills fan, then you didn't really care about that. But, like, it's still a thing. Like, you're still
They were known for their defense. So like, you think you would be worried about losing your defensive coordinator who made your defense what it was.
Well, and you saw what happened when they lost their OC. Again. I mean, they definitely offensively took a huge step back. So it'll be really interesting. I don't know. I'm anxious to see what moves the Bills make to counter what the Dolphins have done. And that'll be interesting.
And I honestly feel like I know Stephon Diggs is still kind of going off about how he doesn't understand how they can't win, like move far further than they have in the playoffs and whatnot. And I just feel like there might be a little bit of disconnect and discord in the locker room. I'm not sure because it kind of felt like, you know, our last season with Tyreek that the chemistry just kind of seemed a little off, but we didn't quite understand what was going on. And I feel like maybe there's something like that kind of spreading through the locker room where it's so much frustration. And I think we're starting to see some cracks with some of their stars on the team. And I definitely feel like their window is closing, and it's closing fast.
Well, and I feel like this last year was really the Bills' year. Like,
it was supposed to be.
I know they were so hyped. And the Eagles, too. And I feel like it could have been them in the Super Bowl, but the Bills just completely collapsed in the playoffs. And
well, and they weren't looking that great before the playoffs. Like, Allen was horrible.
They were winning, but it wasn't strong.
No, and, like, there was interceptions and fumbles. And
my thing is like, you know, Bills fans wanted to be like, okay, but the Chiefs aren't winning big either. But there was a difference in the level of play that the Chiefs were having versus what the Bills were having. And the Chiefs were winning because they knew how to win and they deserved those wins. Whereas I think the Bills, it was more of a struggle, and it wasn't like ever like a.
It seemed more fluky, their wins.
Yeah, like more fluky wins or something. Yeah. I don't mean that in like a disrespectful way to their
fans. Right. Yeah, every team has fluky wins. Theirs just seems consistently fluky.
It was just kind of a, and it was an emotional season for them. They went through a lot all over the season. So.
Would you say, I have two questions. Would you say that their season really turned around when they lost Von Miller? That's for you, Lexi. Chrissy, would you say that Stephon Diggs was like that when he was with the Vikings?
For me, I feel like Von was a huge loss for them. That game that we had against them, they had Von fully healthy, and that was the big difference maker for me in that game.
Yeah.
Was Von Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, I feel like they
won. By the time the season starts, like, he should be back by week one, I believe. So
I think he will be, yeah. I think there was a chance, like, if they made the Super Bowl, he was going to try. But so I think he'll be back week one. But no, I think that was a huge – he's a huge difference maker. It's like losing Chris Jones. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there Stephon Diggs? I would say that I feel like Stephon Diggs is the type of wide receiver who can elevate their quarterback. And I feel like if he is having a disconnect with him and Josh Allen, if there's a disconnect there when they're yelling at each other on the sideline and Josh Allen isn't even looking at him, like he won't even pay attention to him. There's not that brotherhood that we would see. And this is just from the outside. I don't know how it actually is in the locker room there, but we've heard nothing from Josh Allen in the offseason. And all we've heard is Stephon Diggs saying, I don't understand. I don't know why we can't win. Like, this doesn't make sense to me, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like we're getting some and I'm with Stephon Diggs here. Like, I feel like he can elevate any quarterback he goes to. And I feel like if he can go to he can't go anywhere necessarily unless he's traded, but I feel like he kind of deserves better than what he's getting right now. I don't know.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Kyle? I love Stephon Diggs, so.
Me too.
What do you think?
I love him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I think with the Bills, I think at some point you have to look at coaching. Yeah. I know they're getting rid of their DC. They got rid of Leslie Frazier. So there's going to be a couple coaching changes in there. But at some point, like, you have to look at the front office. You have to look at the coaching. You have to understand, you know, why aren't we getting a running back? Why aren't we beefing up our O-line? Like, why don't I have another receiver to throw to? Those are moves that are made in the offseason. And, again, here we are. And not just – obviously, it hasn't – the trade window has – or the free agency hasn't even started yet. So I get it. It's a long offseason. But their team that hasn't done anything yet. So – I think that's where a lot of maybe Diggs' frustration is coming from. Maybe not so much Josh Allen, but maybe more so like the bigger picture, like the coaches, the general manager. What are we doing to fix this? What are we going to do for next season? Those kinds of things.
No,
they're getting so close. And it's like, there's just some little aspect that's missing. And I do think it comes a lot from coaching.
They don't have the money. So unless you have the money, you're not going to be able to make any of these moves that these other teams are making, which is why they had to restructure Josh Allen and Von Miller. But Von Miller probably needs to restructure a little bit more than whatever he did. He was out for half of the season. So,
and isn't his contract fully guaranteed?
Yeah.
For a few years at least, I think. I think the last few are not, but the first few were or something.
Okay. Like 5 years, so many, I don't know.
Something like that. But the thing I noticed this year with Josh Allen in particular, and it could be due to losing Kafka, right? That's who they lost?
No, they lost Brandon
Dable. Dable, sorry. So many people. So with Dable, with losing him, I noticed this year a lot that Josh Allen, they had him playing a lot of hero ball, where he wasn't taking, and this is kind of what happened with Mahomes with Tyreek Hill, not to the same extent, but because Mahomes tends to figure it out a little more.
Yeah.
And that's what I think makes him extra special as opposed to a Josh Allen, is Mahomes can kind of make those reads. But like Josh Allen, they had him just chucking it down the field, and he does have a power arm.
But like, you have
two guys that can get down there, and if they're being double teamed all the time and safe, you know, it's just like he wasn't making those throws a lot of the time, and he was getting intercepted in the red zone a lot, and it just, hero ball is not what he needs to play. So I think if they want to win, they need to learn to kind of play the same, similar style to what we do and take those short throws and have the yards.
I mean, Patrick didn't always do that. He just recently learned how
Even when Patrick didn't always do that, he knew how to adjust better to it, I guess. Yes. That's what I think makes Patrick extra special.
Even though a lot of people hate when he plays hero ball.
Let's get
on to the Jets, because they got a ton of chaos happening. They are stressed. Chrissy, I know you wanted to say something about the Jets a minute ago. I'm going to let you go first. Tomorrow may be either D-Day or Happy Day. We don't know.
I'm shocked that, and I think we kind of touched on it earlier, that the Jets would be trying to bend over backwards for a quarterback who may not even play next year.
Yeah.
Like they're trying to sign, like they signed Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb potentially maybe going to the Jets. And I don't know, like, I'm just like, who knows if Aaron Rodgers is going to first of all sign with the Jets. And they're making all these moves in an assumption that he's going to. And A, what if he doesn't? And then B, let's say Aaron Rodgers does sign with the Jets. Okay. Then he's like, I need all these receivers to come with me, who he originally did not think were weapons around him. So that's interesting. But like, it makes me wonder, like, what the locker room, like the actual wide receivers who already play for the Jets, how they're maybe feeling about this guy coming in, demanding new weapons come with him, versus the guys that are already there. And maybe, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to do training camp? Is he going to sit out again? Is he going to, you know, work with the guys and the new guys in the off season, like Patrick did with our whole new offense this past off season. And I don't fully understand why the Jets are
all in
on him. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
How long is Aaron Rodgers going to play? Like, if he plays this year, are they going to sit there and go through the same thing the Packers have been going through the past few years? Like, oh, is he going to play again next season? And then he just holds them hostage, and then they can't do any off-season moves because they're just kind of waiting. And it just shocks me that the Jets would want to go down that same path.
It's chaos.
And they must be so desperate.
When you listen to the way their city is reacting to, they're like, we don't care. Give him everything he wants.
That's crazy to me.
You know, the Jets have not had a great quarterback in a really long time.
I heard they have some good pieces with the Jets, though. I think that I don't think that all they're missing is a quarterback, but I think they could be, you know, I mean, look, they went toe-to-toe with the Bills this past season at times. And so I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is their answer. I think they need to be looking like, who can we get here long-term? Not, you know, this short-term, will he, won't he? Yeah. I don't know. I don't get it.
It is, if they go in with Aaron Rodgers, it's a win now type thing. And you're in the AFC with guys like Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and they're just so excited to be reunited with Nathaniel Hackett. And I'm like, what is he going to do?
Right.
So if that's how you feel, okay. But I'm almost positive Aaron Rodgers' contract with the Packers was like 4 years, $150 million first year. The second year was something
out. It's like $50 million, yeah.
I mean, why would you even want to pick that contract up in addition? So there's just a lot going on.
There's a lot. And my question is, what do they have to give up for him? Like, what are the trade pieces?
I feel like that's what's
Oh my gosh.
There is so much. I mean, if you're going to take not only my quarterback, but you're going to take at least two of my receivers already took one. Like, they're going to have to either trade people and picks. Like, they're going to have to give up the whole haul. So I'm because the Packers are in a complete rebuild, like complete rebuild if they go. And honestly, I thought for weeks, I was like, there's no way he's leaving because that dead cap for the Packers is ridiculous. And there's no way they're going to put themselves in that type of cap hell for that many years. But I guess that's something that they're willing to do. So I'm really interested to hear what the details of this trade would be. So.
It makes me wonder, like, what's Zach Wilson doing right now?
I know.
Like, during all this, is he just like, I don't know, looking for moms, maybe?
He's got some growing up to do, man.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Not that he's the guy at all. I'm just curious, like, what's got to be running through his head.
Right. Well, that's enough about them. Let's get to the AFC North. There's kind of a lot going on there, too, with the Bengals and the Ravens. Do y'all want to start Bengals or start Ravens before we get into the rest of this week?
Let's start with Ravens.
So Lamar still doesn't have a job. It's really unfortunate.
I don't get it.
They have him out here testing the market, which is fine. A lot of people think that this was a very smart move by the Ravens because they think that he's not going to be able to go out there and get that guaranteed money that he's asking for. I really wish I kind of knew more details on what type of contract he's looking for. Is he looking for 3 years? Is he looking for 5 years? Like, what is it he's specifically looking for to see if it actually makes logical sense when he's going out here and talking to these people? Because I seen something that said they offered him 3 years, 133, and he was like, that's not true. Like, that's cap. That's a lie. And so I'm really confused. But even if someone does give Lamar a job, what do the Ravens do at that point?
So I feel like I heard a few different theories on it recently. And, you know, so there's not much he can do until tomorrow at 4 p.m. for the first thing, right? Because that's when the real free agency starts and with his tender and all of that. So I feel like tomorrow at 4 p.m. will be very interesting. But then, like I was saying to you, Jody, earlier, like he – and it is a business. The NFL is a business, but you're going to have teams, if they want to make him an offer, they're going to have current quarterbacks that it's going to be leaked to the public that they're making him an offer. And then if the Ravens go out and say, okay, we're going to match that, then the Ravens get the match and the Ravens win the Lamar, right? So then you have that team. Then you have that team going in that's like, okay, quarterback, sorry, but I know we wanted Lamar, but we're going to stick with you. And then you have that kind of awkwardness. And
they can do a QB swap. Take our QB. We'll take your QB.
I don't know. And then it's just, I mean, there's so many different possibilities for Lamar that I am very intrigued by him. And if he's able to figure something out with his mom as his agent, like, he could really make some historical things happen. So,
and I think that's what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's... I know. And because agents don't want that, like other NFL agents, I mean, there's just a lot that goes into it with Lamar. So, and then, like we said earlier, like if someone like the Panthers who acquired the first round pick this year in the draft, if they trade that and then next year's first round pick to the Ravens, could they get Lamar? And then he'd be a great fit on their offense. So I think there's a lot of interesting things that can happen with him. And I look forward to seeing what those are.
Do you think Lamar wants to stay with the Ravens? Like, do you think he wants to make something work with them? Or do you think he wants to go somewhere else? I'm just kind of curious. Like,
I think literally
it seems like there's some bad blood there with him and Harbaugh. I don't like some of the comments that came out.
It's starting to feel like that, especially because of how hard it is to reach an agreement. It's starting to feel like there's not a lot of mutual interest.
But is Lamar being stubborn?
Is he being stubborn, but then he's also not being given like any wide receivers or any help? Hardly?
Yeah. His number one wide receiver was what? DeMarcus Robinson?
Probably.
Is that his number one?
Love him so much.
Sorry, D Rob.
Yeah.
Love you, D Rob.
Well, they just lost their guard today. Ben Powers left. He went to the Broncos. And then they lost Calais Campbell, which is
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. And their defense is pretty solid overall, but yeah, I mean, the offense, they're not doing a ton for him.
Yeah.
On top of that. So it's like,
I don't have a ton to add to what you guys have said. My only thing is, I do feel like Lamar's kind of done with the Ravens. There's obviously some bad blood there. And like, I still think that the way that the season ended, he didn't show up, he didn't play in the playoffs. Like, I know he was hurt. I know he was hurt. I'm not trying to say he wasn't, but it was just the way the whole thing shook out was just really weird. He's been injured this last year. He was injured, I think, a little bit the year before. So I do think that's a concern. If they're going to get picks for it though, they get a 2024 first round as well. I mean, there's some great QBs coming out next year too. So yeah. I think if anything, like an even stronger QB class is coming in 2024. So I think Ravens maybe have a couple things, backup plans, I guess, if you will, if Lamar does decide to leave, but I just don't know how they can make it work. Even if he plays on the tag, like, it just feels like there's so much turmoil there.
I did not even want him to play this year. With the thought of, oh my God, what if Lamar gets hurt and he plays this season without a contract on a tag? And then what happened? He got hurt. And I'm like, all it's going to do is hurt his chances for trying to either get a contract or go to a new team. But, you know, eventually maybe we will hear something about Lamar and the Ravens. It has been a long, almost 2 years dealing with this chaos. Go ahead.
I have a question. What will we hear first? Aaron Rodgers news or Lamar Jackson news?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Neither. It's going to be like.
Because Aaron Rodgers is more about him.
Before we get either one of them.
Honestly, Aaron Rodgers is all about him. Like, it's his decision and everyone's just going to go with it. With Lamar, there's multiple parties involved.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. It'll definitely be Aaron Rodgers for sure.
Yeah.
So the Bengals, let's talk about them just a little bit. I know we don't like to talk about them often or much, but they also were kind of in a situation like the Eagles. They didn't think they were going to lose anybody this season. They were going to somehow magically figure out a way to pay every single person on their team. And that has not happened so far. They've lost Jermaine Pratt. I'm sorry, what would you say?
I said they lost both safeties.
Yeah, and running back. So
and they have to figure out how to pay all those offensive weapons, Chase and Higgins and Burrow, and like, have fun, guys.
And they're set to lose.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Maybe
set to lose
or not.
Are they set to lose Mixon as well?
I feel like
there's a rumor. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Yeah. There is a rumor on Mixon too, and it's just so funny because. They're in shambles. And we're like, yeah, this is what happens. When you have so many great players on your team, they want a bag. This is what happens. It comes along with it. So what are you guys' thoughts on the Bengals? We play them also at Arrowhead next year. Good fun times.
My theory with them was the Bengals, their owners are not big spenders, right? Like, they're known to not be big spenders. Now, acquiring Joe Burrow has made them into bigger, big spenders.
They're building a practice. They're building a covered practice stadium for him.
Yeah, they're doing some things to make it better there. But like you said, they lost their top two safeties. And what I heard was like Lou Anarumo saying, and that's their defensive coordinator, is he's saying if they lost, they were assuming they would lose Jesse Bates, but they were not assuming to lose Von Bell. And they ended up losing both of them. And those are the biggest leaders of their defense. They were doing players only meetings during the season and like off season. Like, those guys were the leaders of their defense. There was a reason that defense was like the only one to stop Patrick Mahomes, especially in the playoffs. That was a big reason, was because of that team and those specific players.
Yeah.
And them losing those two guys is huge. And then
I hate that P-Ron went to the Broncos so much.
P-Ron went to the Broncos. That's their running back.
He's so good against us. I'm like, really? Okay, great.
That poor guy.
I feel like we'll figure him out on the Broncos specifically. But then my other thing with the Bengals too was that they needed improvement at offensive line. We saw what happened in the championship game.
Yeah.
He was sacked like 20 times.
Amazing.
They didn't acquire any of the big offensive line names in free agency.
Yeah, like it's 3 years. This is going into the third year now where they have not really addressed their O-line issue. Like they tried to address it a little bit before last year and it didn't do any good. And now it's like, do you guys want to protect Joe Burrow or do you not want to protect Joe Burrow? Like if he is going to be your franchise quarterback, you have to figure out how to keep him healthy and taking as many sacks as he can. And you guys saw Herbert when we played him and how many times like he got hit. And I mean, he is an injury away from having something serious happen to him again because they can't protect him. It blows my mind. Mm-hmm. It really does.
That's why
I don't know. Go ahead.
Oh, just really quick. I just don't know why they're not making bigger moves at the O-line.
They don't have any money.
Jody's like,
what's the answer?
Got a lot of bills, y'all. Gotta have them.
They don't have an amazing GM who knows to go in and how to move, not necessarily move money back and forth, but you got to be able to know how to play the game on that side of the ball. I mean, they have no money. And they have too many people they have to pay next year or this year. And if they're smart, I'm sorry, Kyrie, I'm going to let you finish. But if they're smart, they need to pay Joe Burrow now before that market goes way up. Like, because once that market goes up, then what are you going to do? You're going to lose another key piece that you need. And it's probably not even a piece that's going to help your own life.
Yeah, like look at what Danny Dimes did to the market this year. You want to really wait another year for someone else to get a stupid deal like that? And then you're like, what are we supposed to do with Joe Burrow now?
I can't believe they paid him that much money. Getting dollars. Get it right.
They did get him a weapon. They did get him a weapon today. But
they did. I love it too. I love that move they did. So.
I don't really have anything to add to the Bengals. I don't really like to talk about them, to be honest. But I'll let push my pettiness aside for a second. I do wonder what happens when their offensive line has another year to gel, just to play devil's advocate. But to your point, they're not really making any moves. They're definitely going to have to crunch the numbers to figure out how to pay these guys. I would really, really hate to see them regress. It would be so sad. No, I hope that's what happens. So, whatever.
Well, the Steelers picked up Patrick Peterson, which is great, but they did lose Cameron Sutton. And then the Browns picked up Dalvin Tomlinson, which is a great move for them because I thought they were also broke. And then they restructured Deshaun Watson because they should. So he restructured for about $19 million, and then they picked up, I don't know how to say his name, O-G-B-O-N-N.
I'm thinking of Gwat.
Agbonya Okoronkwo.
Yeah, 3 year, $19 million. So I really hope that the Browns fail. Yeah, that was so good, Chrissy. I really hope that they fail at everything. But let's get to the best division in football, the AFC West. There was a lot of things that have happened with.
Wait, did we skip over the South? Well, there's not much going on there.
No, we talked about them first.
Did we?
Yep.
Yeah.
We waved right over him. We said the Colts picked up.
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did, but it's fine.
We said the Colts picked up someone and we moved right along.
One thing I wanted to say was the AFC South faces the NFC South this season. So we're gonna get a ton of mid games.
We already had a ton of those this last season. Do we have like they're all gonna be on Thursday Night Football, aren't they?
I was just gonna say that.
Amazon's going to be like, I want a refund.
Is it that you're mad or is it that we're really good and spoiled?
I think it's both, honestly. Yes. I think it's both. Because I can enjoy a good game, but man, when you got two very mid-sad teams playing against each other and you're like, but I want to watch football so badly and you're just looking for the tiniest thing to make it interesting, you're like, man, that fourth down conversion made that game real cool.
I wanted to say I think Matt Ryan is being released, so I expect him.
Yeah, he is. And so
drama.
Everyone, Laramie Tunzel, but that's not going to happen. So
Yes. Yeah. There's a debate right now with him, with Matt Ryan. Is he going into retirement or is he going to go be a backup? But his agent, I don't know if y'all saw, he was able to negotiate his last year of 2023. So he will get paid for his last year of $12 million. So
for Matt Ryan,
it's giving retirement, but he can be a backup. Who knows? I would be okay if he came to be a backup for us.
I feel like he has too much pride, but if he wants to come over here and like plug ideas in the quarterback room with Patrick Mahomes, please.
Get a ring.
Get a ring. Why not?
AFC West.
Yeah, y'all. I mean, cool.
I don't want to say the best division in football because really the other three teams stink. But let's start
with how you really feel, Jody.
I mean, I've always felt that way. It's not new. If you're new here, hi. Yeah.
Hi.
Let's start with the Chargers because I really want to talk about Austin Ekeler.
Go for it. What you got to say?
I know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to let y'all go. Like, requesting to talk to other teams is insane.
I don't blame him.
Is it? You're the Chargers.
Chargers are going to charger, man.
Raiders are going to Raider, too, and we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
They're all going to do whatever. Broncos going to Bronco, Raiders going to Raider, it's Chargers going to Charger.
I think with
about him, because, I mean, okay. Justin Herbert is still there. He didn't go anywhere. I'm just really shocked that he's requesting to want to talk to other teams.
Why are you so shocked, Jody? Tell us.
Because I feel like last year the Chargers, they made it to the playoffs. They're very close to being good. Like, they're very, very close to being good. Like, they're playing in, and I don't care what people say, the AFC West is still one of the toughest divisions in football because you got Patrick Mahomes, right? So, I mean, he plays against Pat twice a year. They had a shootout with the Broncos, and they had a tough game with the Raiders. Now, granted, that probably doesn't say much, but wouldn't you rather play them than the NFC South? Like, if you can play our teams and it be good defensive football versus teams that just are not great all around, I'm like, I feel like he may be giving up too quickly on them, but that's just my thought.
Can I just say that Brandon Staley is their Achilles heel?
Yeah,
he is 110%. I feel like the way he would throw players in at the end of the season when it was unnecessary, the way he would put them back in after they were already hurt on the sideline, some of the calls he makes, every fourth down, we're going to go for it. Then he got too conservative. Like, he's having an identity crisis. And for somebody who is a defensive-minded coach, his defense should be better. And the fact that they let the Jags come back in the playoffs after being down, 28 points, is absolutely uncalled for. So the fact that they brought Brandon Staley back in the first place was shocking to me. Exactly. They do have a new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, right?
From the Cowboys. Well, Kellen Moore is really good.
So we'll see if he can do something with their offense. But I'm not shocked to see that Eckler's like, I got to get out of here. This is a sinking ship.
How many offensive coordinators have the Chargers gone through?
A lot.
Since Herbert's been there. Or Eckler, even. You think he's just tired of the inconsistency? Like, he just wants a consistent...
But where is he going to go and truly get consistency? Who needs a running
back? I don't know. He can go to the Bills, maybe. I don't know.
Honestly, if they would trade in the AFC, then yes, but they could use a running back.
I could understand why he's frustrated. But like you guys said, like, where is he going to go? It's just, but you know, when you can't get a consistent coach every year and it's like, oh, this guy didn't work, we got to throw him out, we can't be Patrick Mahomes, we got to try this new guy, I wonder if he's just like sick of it all and he just wants a fresh start.
The Chargers have a new medical staff.
They got a new head doctor or something. Yeah. head trainer
because that was a mess.
That
was a whole other mess. I don't know where Eckler could go. I'm trying to think, like, if he went to the NFC, what would be a good fit for him, but he's a unique kind of running back. Like, he fits a specific offense.
Yeah.
So
I do want to talk a little bit of crap about the Chargers. This is also the same team, I don't know if y'all saw it, but they put out a proposal asking that wild card teams they should be seeded higher than the division champions. I don't know if y'all thought that. If they have four Chargers. More wins, then the division champs should be below 500. So.
You know, actually, what intrigues me for Eckler is the Lions.
Ooh.
Because Jamal Williams is a free agent. Mm. He was such a red zone threat. Eckler's a red zone threat. What if he went to a team like that?
And the Lions are going to be really good next year.
They're going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, that could be an interesting move for him.
That, yeah.
It's a good thought.
I don't hate that. All right, enough about the Chargers. Let's talk about the Broncos. They've spent the most amount of money so far at $219 million.
How do they have, you know, I'm not going to be that person. Like, how do they have that money? I just thought a lot of it was tied up in Russell Wilson, but you know what? Okay.
And he didn't restructure. Anyway.
Right.
And as we said earlier, their betting odds to win the Super Bowl are still the exact same after spending $219 million. And I think it's also important to say that not only did they spend that much money in free agency, the amount of coaches that they went out and got already. So they are really trying to revamp all around when it comes from coaching and players. Let's start there.
I mean,
I think the Broncos will be a little bit better than they were this last year. I'm not saying they're going to be like fantastic or anything. I think some things kind of started changing for them towards the end of the season. You saw Russell Wilson playing a little bit different. He started using his legs more. I think, you know, picking up they have a new guard, which is nice, a new offensive tackle, which is good for him. Jared Stidham's still there. Good for him. But you know, the fact that they're willing to trade their wide receivers, it's like, okay, then who's it? Let's say you start trading those guys away. Who are you gonna?
They want to clean the slate on all of those.
Yeah, receivers. Like who is he gonna throw to sense. Then?
They did just get a tight end. Today, I think, right? Chris, Chris
from the Jags.
I don't know. Like, I don't think Russell Wilson is the guy that can take, you know, a nobody and, you know.
But can Sean Payton?
I forgot. Sean, I don't know.
Payton. I'm like, no.
If anyone scares me on that team, it is Sean Payton, right? Like,
But also, you look at Sean Payton and how they were with this. He was with the Saints the last so many years, and he wasn't anything to write home about. You know, it's like
no.
He knows a lot about Patrick, though. Sean Payton studied Patrick Mahomes.
Loves Patrick,
and Patrick.
Maybe this is the biggest thing because he knows every single thing about Patrick, which is why when he went,
you know, I don't know if that's true though. I don't think anybody knows every single thing about Patrick. I think Patrick will
be Andy Reid.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he can game plan all he wants for Patrick and the type of quarterback he thinks he is with all his skill sets. And I still don't think that he'll be able to do anything to stop him.
Oh, no, I don't think he'll be able to do anything to stop him. But I think he probably knows the most about him out of all the NFL coaches.
Outside of ours, yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
No, yeah. I mean, for the people who don't, you know, I obviously know what you mean. So, I don't know. Yeah. I think they'll be better than they were last season. But I don't think that they're, you know, stacked to win the division. Or I think they'll be third, maybe, in the division.
I think they'll be better than last season. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I still believe that if anyone makes the playoffs in the AFC West, aside from us, it'll be the Chargers.
I believe in the Chargers more than I believe in the Broncos.
And it comes down to quarterback play, where I really like Justin Herbert way more than Russell Wilson right now. And I think Russell Wilson had his time. He was great for a while. I just think for some reason he's just – there's just something off there. Like, it's just not working. And I don't know if Sean Payton will, I mean, Godspeed, like, to take on that.
God bless.
Sometimes I think he took that job just so he can get up close and personal to Patrick twice a year.
That's what I'm saying. You're just trying to get in and get a foot in the door.
You're just fanboying a little bit and just being like, you know what? I may have to be the coach of this team, but at least I can get close to Patrick twice a year, you know? Like,
maybe,
what
maybe
a gift.
Smell him. Just get a smell.
Just smell him a little bit.
I think, I don't know. No, just real, I'm sorry. I think you said it. Sean Payton is definitely their biggest threat. Russell Wilson, I think his ego or his elitistness, that feels right. Anyway, I think that's going to be the biggest thing that Sean Payton's going to have to tame is like that ego and how he interacts with the rest of the team and with the locker room. And there's a chance they're getting rid of wide receivers because they don't get along with Russell Wilson. That being said, they did pick up, to your point, Chrissy, they did pick up a guard and a tackle today. And to me, that says, you know, Sean Payton was always really great about converting on third downs. Last year, the Broncos were, I think, last in the league at third down conversion. So by going out, getting off new offensive linemen, I think that kind of sets the tone. He's like, we got to figure out how to get first downs. We got to figure out how to convert and keep our defense off the field a little bit more. So it'll be interesting to see what else happens with them. And I don't know where they're getting all this money. I don't. Walmart money.
Walmart money. They got Mike McGlinchey. That's the OT. Zach Allen, a DE from Arizona. Alex.
I like that.
They re-signed him for 3 years. That's really it on them.
So I've heard like not good things about Mike McGlinchey. So I'm like, I think
it'll be interesting.
The goal was there.
Maybe because he's cheap. It may be because with the coaching, they think that they're going to be able to do. I will say though, I do think that Sean Payton is like, all of that stuff that happened last year, that ain't happening this year. So like, you want your own office, that ain't happening. You having your own coaches, that ain't happening. You're going to run my program and you're going to run my system and we'll see how this goes. And I definitely don't think they're going to fire Sean Payton. You shouldn't be so stupid to give Russell Wilson all that money and y'all need to really make him restructure.
I think if it doesn't work with Sean Payton, then that's extremely telling.
100%.
I feel like I need to go watch that.
Seattle was really good when Russell.
That movie.
Yeah, I need to go watch that that Sean Payton movie. Really get figured on Netflix now. And just with Taylor Lautner and Paul Blart.
Yeah, I watched it. I can't think of what it's called.
I feel like I need to go watch it just to see, learn a little bit more about Mr. Payton and how he runs things.
After you know what we should watch as a group.
Do a movie review next week.
Oh my gosh, how fun.
I want to watch Draft Day. That's actually one of my favorite.
No, movies. Stop. Jody, Country will not let me hear the end of this Draft Day thing. Mm-hmm. Every Country.
It's
every
such single, a good movie.
He's Mac is Boogie and I haven't seen it. It's so funny that you just brought that up.
We're going to do a Kingdom Cast collab. And we're going to, I love Draft Day. It's such a
I got to watch it.
Maybe we need to have like a movie night collab podcast.
Yeah, where we can like do a space. We can do a space and watch Draft Night. I mean, Draft Day.
I've never seen it.
It's so
I haven't seen Draft Day either, but I've seen the Sean Payton one. My thoughts on that one.
Everybody go watch Draft Day before the draft. You got 43 days.
Okay.
yes,
I am. Kevin James, thank you. Clear the air.
Yes, it's so good though, for real. Y'all all need to go watch it because it's just really good. Raiders. Oh, what did it say?
I'm right there with you, Kylie. Like, I don't even know what it is. So.
And I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's Country or if that's Charles, but no, she has not watched it. Get on. Get on all three of them. None of them.
It's on the list.
We're going to do a movie night recap. Yes. Sometimes it's off season when we have nothing to talk about. We'll do that.
Wait, we gotta watch it before the draft.
Yeah, we'll have time like early April when there's nothing happening, and then
it might be happening. So the Raiders, they've spent the fifth highest amount of money at $84 million. Darren Waller, nice. I know. I'm like, what in the world? Darren Waller to the Giants. I just want to say how much I love that for him and how stupid the Raiders are.
Yes.
In that order.
I mean, they got Jacoby Myers, so, like, good for them there. I'm sorry, Jacoby. This is where people go to die, their careers. Yeah. Them personally, yeah, hopefully, no, but, you know, their careers. So, sorry, Jacoby. Yeah.
I mean, they still got Josh Jacobs and
And so Jimmy G, who's attractive, but you know, he's okay.
Who's more attractive, Jimmy G or Derek Carr?
Jimmy G.
Derek Carr wears too much eyeliner for me. So
I know, I can't handle it. Especially when it cries down his little cheeks.
Or he's like this.
I love that Darren Waller went there. And I know a lot of people have been talking crap about him because of his past drug addiction. But
good for him for getting out of it.
Aaron Rodgers, hello?
Yeah, for real.
I don't want to hear anything about anybody as long as Aaron Rodgers is doing whatever the heck he wants to do. Everybody can shut up about Darren Waller. I think he is going to have way more success in New York, especially with Danny Dollars, Danny Millions, and Saquon, who just got paid too. So good for him for getting out of that toxic environment.
Yeah, how do you feel Devontae feels right now? And you think he's excited about Jimmy G and the loss of Darren Waller and the addition of
Devontae went there to play with Derek Carr, and I do not know what happened quite between Derek Carr and McDaniel, right? Like, I don't really know what happened there, but it seemed like there was a lot of clashing that did not work out. And they already had paid Devontae so much money. So you're not going to get rid of him.
Right.
But then I don't feel like, for some reason, there's a part of me that does not feel like Devontae did a lot to get Derek to stay either.
You don't think like, so? I think he did.
I don't know if he really had a say in the matter, honestly.
Not that he has a say, but I don't get the vibe that he was like, I came here to play. I don't know. I just don't get the vibe. And then to go from Derek to Jimmy G, Devontae knows in his heart of hearts that it's like the same quarterback.
No, he doesn't, but it is. We know that it's the same quarterback.
Devontae knows. If we know, he knows.
The only thing I'll say about Jimmy G is that he has played with Josh McDaniels before when he was in New England.
Yeah.
So they have maybe he can, because I'm the first one who said, you know, Shanahan schemes it up for Jimmy G. Like, Shanahan was really the brains behind that operation.
Yeah.
Outside of, like, you know, Jimmy doesn't have the greatest arm and he's a little inconsistent. So it'll be interesting to see what McDaniels can do with him and if they can rekindle whatever they had in New England.
And so, I was just going to say, I'm actually really glad Jimmy got out of San Fran because he doesn't deserve to be a backup. I don't like what they did to him last year. So I am glad that he's getting like a fresh start. I don't know if that's going to translate. Well, I mean, because he did play, right? And he was decently good. I mean, the Niners were decently good, but yes, that goes back to what Kyle said. That goes all back to the scheme. I mean, I feel like that's one of those, and we all said this, and I think we all went back on it, but we all said we feel like any quarterback can play in that scheme, right? Even though they went down to their fourth string quarterback and that turned into chaos.
Yeah, that was bad.
I mean, they had three quarterbacks that did very well. You know what I mean? Like, sorry, that fourth time's a charm is not a charm. So,
and that's where I feel like you can, this is where it gets tricky because I feel like you can almost say that about Andy Reid's scheme as well. Although I feel like I still feel like Mahomes is one of one and still would be that way in any other scheme. But I think Mahomes elevates
Andy's scheme.
He does.
He adds like this extra package to it, I think.
So I feel like, and I feel like that's the similar thing for Shanahan, where if he has not had a guy like Patrick Mahomes, if you put a Patrick Mahomes into Shanahan's scheme, I feel like it'd be similar in the fact that it'd be very, very good. So I think one thing we didn't touch on was the fact that Sam Darnold is now a 49er and probably will end up being their starter because of all the freaking injuries they've had.
Yeah, because Purdy's going to be out for a while, isn't he? Out.
I don't know.
He's not going to start. I can't remember who they drafted. What is it?
Trey Lance.
I don't know how long he's back.
He should be ready to go by week one. Who knows what that looks like, but he should be ready to go by week one.
We'll see.
I'll ask my chiropractor tomorrow. He's a big 49ers fan. I'll ask him. I'm sure he has all the insider info. Well,
I think he's because he went out really early in the season.
Yeah.
He's been out for a real long time, so I'm pretty sure he's good. But good luck with Sam Darnold. All right, let's talk about the best team in the NFL. Two-time Super Bowl champions, two-time under Patrick Mahomes. 5-6 AFC championship games at home under him. So we actually really don't have a ton of news about us.
Juwan Taylor, hey!
I mean, I know. So we lost Andrew Wiley. Best of luck to him and all of his wonderful endeavors.
Yeah. We do wish him luck.
Orlando Brown is probably about to sign.
He hasn't yet. I kept checking throughout the podcast, and Brown or Bears were just like, when's he going to sign? And I'm like,
I don't think it's going to happen until tomorrow, like Lexi said.
Yeah.
I think it happens on the new year and not this old year.
Yeah.
So before we talk into the greatness of Juwan, let's talk about OBJ for a second, because there were a lot of things that kind of went around today talking about him. And it was really interesting to hear what Adam Schefter had to say. Did y'all hear that at all? What he said?
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Kylie?
No, what did he say?
Okay. Adam
Schefter. I have the video. You want me to mic it up and do our thing?
You can.
Yeah, here I got it right here.
I sent it to you. I was like, Chrissy, listen to this.
Okay, hold on. Can you guys hear it?
That's not why. Essentially, it was a case where I think that Orlando Brown was talking to the Chiefs. The deal didn't get done. The Chiefs moved on with Juwan Taylor. And now Orlando Brown is looking to find a new home. The Bears were in on Mike McGlinchey. Didn't get him. He went to Denver. Chicago would seem to make a lot of sense. But he wants a lot of money. And some teams were thinking in other areas. I don't know if they really
he's a left tackle. He's not a right tackle.
No, the league views him as a right tackle. He wants to be paid as a left tackle. And so I think that also enters into it. There's a whole host of factors here that are playing in. And I'll say this also. If you're a free agent, a top free agent, your deal needs to be agreed to almost always on the first day of free agency. If it's not agreed to on the first day from there, the prices usually begin to slide.
Oh, boy. Interesting, right? So there's a lot to take away in that 1 minute and 8 second clip.
Yep.
That's what makes me think that he said first day of free agency. So if something doesn't happen with Orlando tomorrow.
Yesterday.
Well, but yesterday's the tampering. Tomorrow's the official free agency.
Right, free agency.
So that's when, like, all these contracts we've seen coming through the past 2 days aren't actually official until tomorrow at 4 p.m. So if we don't hear anything from Orlando by tomorrow at 4 p.m., then that's when you're like, and if he makes it to, like, a Thursday or Friday, and then you don't hear anything, it's like.
But they were expecting him to be signed today is what I'm trying to say.
Though, like, where are the Bears getting all their?
Well, the Bears had a ton of capital.
Yeah,
they have enough to pay Orlando Brown and all the other guys they paid.
They still had like $45 million left yesterday.
Dang, good for the Bears, man.
I love what Adam said.
Takeaway is everybody's looking at him like he's a right tackle, but he wants to be paid as a left tackle.
Right.
Yep. What are y'all thoughts about that? I know my thoughts. Well, I'll let the guests go first.
I was just going to say that. Like, I thought that stood out to me, too. He wants top left tackle money, and I'm sorry, but he's not top five, not top ten. Like, you're going to – and the league views you as a right tackle. So, I mean, I don't – it's not that we weren't willing to pay $20 million because we did that with Juwan Taylor. So I really like the Juwan Taylor move. It'll be really interesting to see what happens with OBJ. If he does end up with the Bears, again, I like OBJ. I like what he did for us here in Kansas City. We got a Super Bowl with him. He got a ring.
Right.
If he wants to go to the Bears and get some money and continue to help them build, I'm all for it.
He's not going to get this $25 million a year that he's
crazy. Paid. I know.
He thinks he's worth 23 to 25. That's not – not happening.
And you know, we offered him a huge contract last season.
Yep.
That he and his brand new agent decided that was not good enough. And then he was like, okay, I'm gonna prove myself this season. And while he did okay, he didn't prove himself to be a top one left tackle in the league.
Wasn't he like top one or two in pressures allowed this season?
Pressures.
Mm-hmm. He was high up there, yeah. Not sacks allowed, but pressures allowed.
Pressures.
Not, yeah, pressures.
Mahomes.
Not great.
Yeah.
Not great. I mean, Patrick Mahomes still got really hurt.
Yeah.
Thanks, Orlando.
So I think he, and that's going to be a regret he might go down with his agent. And, you know, it was an agent he hired that didn't have any football experience, any NFL experience. So that's going to end up hurting you. And I think that's probably what we're going to see. And I don't know if that means he ends up back with us as a left tackle, because now Tunsil's out of the picture for us. I don't know if we trade up, if there's someone we have in mind, but I don't think a starting left tackle is going to last until pick 31 also.
Mm-hmm. No.
So for me, I'm like, we either have to trade up or we have to re-sign him, but it's going to not be what he wants.
Oh, it's not. It might be less than what he thought. Oh, you thought you were going to get 20?
Now
16.
Yeah, for real.
Here's 19 and like zero incentives. Like, it's zero bonuses.
Yeah. So it could get a little awkward, but you know.
Oh, it's already awkward. Could be already. Well, and my thing is, someone said this, and I can't remember which one of y'all it was, because I stalk y'all tweets every day. So, someone says something along the lines like, well, do you think Patrick had anything to do with the Orlando Brown thing? Like, do we think he tried to like help convince him to take this contract to stay or go or what? And my thing is, I definitely think, and this kind of goes back to like the Tyreek Hill days too, I definitely think Patrick had some say in it. But at the end of the day, Veach is going to be like, no. Like, Veach is the mom who is like, sorry. For me, I guess it was my dad. Is going to be the one who is like, absolutely not. Like, I know that this is what you want and this is what you're begging for and da-da-da-da-da. But at the end of the day, we have a strict guideline that we're going to go against. And we're not doing this for you, especially because Patrick did end up still getting hurt. And it lingered for a really long time. So.
And we were scheming for him too. Like, we were scheming McKinnon, and I mean, the amount of scheming we had to do to help our left tackle try to keep our quarterback healthy is, you can't be scheming that much for a left tackle who wants $25 million. Like, if you shouldn't. That's just not how it works.
There's no way Juju is out here taking this many blocks.
Well, that, and I feel like that's where. Okay, so if we end up without Orlando Brown, and then we don't obviously have Tunsil, and then we have our 31st pick, right? If we do that, then do we move? Because that's when the talk is moving Juwan Taylor to left tackle and hoping his athleticism takes over that spot. Because I don't know if you guys watched those videos of his footwork, but like, he is, I mean, no, this is no offense to Orlando Brown Jr., but he is way more athletic.
Offense.
His footwork is like,
he's got quick feet, whereas I feel like Orlando had very heavy feet.
Yeah. So I feel like there's a possibility of moving him over there, and then right tackle goes really deep in this draft. So I'm like, then we could. And then you also have Niang, who I don't think a lot of people realized, it was kind of floating around on Twitter this week, that Niang was actually in on that. I think it was either
it was the big man Pokemon, whatever player, or maybe it was the one on the Super Bowl where Wiley got put in.
Yeah.
And because he was an eligible receiver, I think Niang had to go in, and we ended up scoring a touchdown on the play that he was in.
On the next one, or something that he was in. And so he was in at right tackle, and to put him in the Super Bowl on a play where you need a touchdown says a lot how you think of him. So
it's a lot of confidence to be able to do that.
The whole thing with Niang is he has a lot of upside, but his downside is that he cannot stay healthy.
Not at
all. He's been healthy for like two games. So you can't really rely on him. So,
and I don't rely on him. I know there are a lot of Chiefs fans who do. I do not. Not when it comes to my quarterback.
You can't have an injury-prone right tackle.
Okay, but
no. I mean, I like what you said, though, Lexi, about moving him over to Juwan Taylor over to left tackle. I think definitely, like you said, we've schemed for Orlando Brown. There's obviously a way to do that with Juwan Taylor while he continues to get more experience on the left side. And his feet, like you said, he's got such quick feet. He's nimble. he is really great in pass pro, which is where OBJ struggled. Yes. And we are a pass heavy offense. So he definitely fits our offense better. He fits our scheme better. And it does kind of give some flexibility to us in the draft. Like, do we need a left tackle? Do we need a right tackle? Right. Kind of see where the chips fall and then go after it. And I think it leaves some mystery too. Yeah. Like, what are the Chiefs going to go after? So it'll be really interesting.
Well, and we have the picks. If we want to move up, move up. Draft is at home, baby. Like,
make a splash.
For putting on a show, you're in Missouri. It is the show me state. If you want to move up in the draft and go get your guy, I am all on board for it, especially when it comes down to protecting Patrick. I mean, if we want Patrick to last as long as we say, till he's 100, we're going to need to do everything that we can every year to protect him. So let's go ahead and get in on Juwan. I'm very excited. I still have on my agenda to go back and to watch the last two times that we played the Jags.
Agreed.
Because apparently he was incredibly impressive in the AFC game. So I was at that game. So I'm ready to go back and really just sit down and watch film on him. But you guys nailed it. Like, dude is super athletic. Like, he's a young dude too. I know that he's going to be able to not only grow with this defense, because we do have some amazing, this offense, because we do have some amazing leaders on this offensive line that's going to help him even be better and more developed than what he already is, coming off of what he did with Trevor Lawrence. I'm just like, okay, like, yeah, like, yeah, like, I love that you're here. And I personally want to draft. I don't want to go out and find anybody that's on the market. I would rather just draft, bring in a young guy, and let him get in here with these veterans. We've seen what our rookies did last year. So,
yeah,
I'm on board.
And I do feel like Veach has been hitting these O-line picks. I mean, I don't know about Kennard from last year, from last draft. I'm not sure what his upside is yet. I know he did some special teams and some stuff like that. Yeah. I feel like he'll get a shot in training camp and all that good stuff, and then we can kind of see how that goes and a year of him learning our scheme. I know Darian Kennard has, like, 1 foot long hands, which is crazy. So he has some upside there. But
I think it's all about him just getting more reps. You know what I mean? Like, the more reps that he gets, and he'll be able to get in his, like, gel and his movement. I think that just comes along with it. A lot of our rookies last year didn't have a choice, and they were starting literally every single game, which is why you see the way that they developed throughout the end of the season. So I think as long as he sticks around and he's getting his reps, that he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the news about Juju talking with the Colts, wanting a lot of money, and the Colts said no?
Juju, what would you do, and maybe come back?
He went there, and I believe he was asking for like 13 a year, between 13 and 14 a year. And if you guys have been paying attention to the receiver market right now, most receivers are only getting paid between 10 and 11
a year. They're not doing what they did last year. They learned their lesson. They're
not doing what they did last year. And he went over there like, I am a Super Bowl champion. Y'all need us. 13 mil. And they said no. And then they went with the other guy. I can't remember. We've talked about a lot of people. So Juju is still on the board. So what are y'all thoughts about that? Because I know what number I think Juju should deserve. It's not 13, it's less than that. So I know what number he should deserve, but what do y'all think we need to do to either keep him as a Chief or move forward?
I would like to keep him as a Chief, because I think another year in this scheme would do him a lot of good. I also feel like he's a great addition to Travis Kelce, that big guy on the field. He can kind of help in that area. But I also, like, Brett Veach is not going to overpay for guys. Like, he proved that, especially last year with Tyreek. He proved it with Orlando Brown Jr. He's like, we're not doing that. We're not going to be in the business where we're cap poor every year because we're paying too many people. I don't necessarily want to compare it, but that's what the Patriots used to do. Like, they weren't going to be tied up overpaying for people, and that's how they were able to stay so consistent for so long. So yeah. I would love Juju to come back. I think, you know, I wouldn't be upset paying him around 10 a year, you know, but I mean, there's no way he's going to, I shouldn't say no way. I'm not a GM, but I don't think anyone's getting 14 like that. And OBJ is wanting like 15 to 18 million or something. And it's like, dude, you calm yourself down.
relax.
Like, relaxly.
I mean,
I would like to keep Juju if we can, if the price is right. Like you said, Chrissy, I think $10 million seems a little bit more reasonable for him. And I think with his injury history, something like $10 million over and then 2 years. So I don't know. I just don't want to do anything. Yeah, I don't know that I want to see him do anything like long term with him. But another year or two, I think we could definitely see him build onto that chemistry with Pat. Like you said, he's another bigger guy. He's great in the slot. So I like Juju. There's some other guys out there that I know that we could grab. And I don't want to rely on Tony. We don't have to get into any of that, but I don't want to rely on him to be our wide receiver one.
We all agree.
So, yeah, we're right there with you.
We all agree.
And we love Tony. Don't get us wrong. We love Tony.
Yeah.
But like you said, injuries, you know, you can't. He hasn't played a full season yet, so we can't.
I think the biggest thing going into this off season, and that I maybe thought we would get some clarity on last season, is that I still don't feel like we're going to enter this next season with a clear wide receiver one. I don't feel like there's an option for that. I genuinely don't. Unless you get a D-hop. Unless you get a D-hop. That's like about it.
Right. Unless you trade.
D-Hop even said that he doesn't want to be the highest paid receiver, so why does Jamie think we're going to bring him back as one of the highest paid receivers? Like, there's no way.
Yeah, our wide receiver one, like he's saying, is Travis. I mean, it is, but like he looks for our tight end one, and I'm specifying wide receiver one. There is not really one on our team.
So. Well, and that's what they said. They said KT would be wide receiver one.
Yeah, and like Chris said, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, but with Juju, he is a good guy for the role he plays, like you guys are saying. So if we can bring him in like 10, 11 million a year, that's fantastic. I would love a 2-year deal with that. Maybe some incentives, maybe a signing bonus with it.
Because he missed his incentive last year. He missed his last year's incentive because he got injured. Remember?
He made one of the Super Bowl, you come off
a Super Bowl winning team. And I think the Chiefs do want to bring Juju back at the right price. And it's like, if you're Juju, and I know Juju has not made a crap ton of money since he's been in the NFL, but he's also had a lot of injuries, it feels like. And I feel like, and I'm not telling him to take a hometown discount, but I think he just needs to be realistic with the market. And you can either take, you know, you can take potentially whatever the Chiefs, let's say the Chiefs are offering 10 mil. You can take 10 mil from the Chiefs, be an immediate contender, going like, back to the best quarterback in the NFL for years and years to come, knock on wood. And, or you can see if a team's going to pay you what, 1 or 2 million, maybe more. And go to a team that's potentially not proven, that doesn't have a quarterback that's going to be able to do anything and everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not going to be guaranteed most likely a playoff spot or a nice playoff run, a Super Bowl contention. Like, it's just.
I'm okay with giving him 11.
Yeah. 10 or 11, I'd be fine with.
10 or 11, that's great. And then, but like you said, he could go to the Panthers and potentially make like 14, right? I don't know, but.
Because if you think about it, if we take care of left and right tackle, Juju's not going to have to do as much as what he did last year, and he can truly play in his role as a receiver.
Yeah.
So I think that's something else that he really needs to think about too, because he will be able to be more of that wide receiver one that we're looking for. And I do think that is what it is. I think he wants to be a wide receiver one. But he really didn't have an option to do or be that last year.
So. Our offense was still trying to figure out who they were last year. Like, it was a whole retooling, rebuilding, whatever you want to call it. Like, our offense was a whole new beast. Yeah. And so, like, we were still trying to kind of figure out our identity throughout the entire season and throwing to 11 different guys a game. And
love it.
And now it's going to be like, hey, we know who we are now. We know we've got all these new or guys who have been with the system for a while, might be able to pick up a couple new guys or something. But the base of our offense will still be the same next year, especially if we can retain Juju. So,
So
I don't know why you wouldn't want a second year of consistency there.
You can bring
and then we'll get the bag.
We'll have MVS, we'll have Sky, we'll have Tony. So if you can bring a guy like Juju back, keep that same flow. I'm excited for the potential of that. And then maybe one other guy that we're not envisioning right now, maybe like a Thielen. I know not everyone's excited about that.
Thielen just signed with somebody.
Oh, Thielen? Did he?
I know he was talking to someone. Did he actually sign?
Packers. He's going to sign with the Packers.
Oh, okay.
That seems like a weird move, but okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Well, but
they're getting rid of everybody else. So they're like, actually.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There could be someone random that we don't see. And I would love it to be like a D-Hop, but there could be someone else
I'm
random.
So glad it's not.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it's like a DJ Shark or something. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing him. So.
Ooh, I just got scared. Pacheco was trending on Twitter, and I was like, oh, dear God, why?
But no, everything's fine. Added him and Travis Kelce. And then
everything's fine. Everything's good. I was looking to see if anything had happened, and I was like, why is he trending? What's happening?
That's all I got. We are now at an hour and 35 minutes with Miss Kylie Free.
Oh my gosh. It went by fast. This is fun. I like talking to you guys.
Tell the people where they can find you at.
Yeah.
Well, I do a very fun podcast with my three guys, Country Boogie and Chuck. We're on every Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Time. It gets wild in the chat though, I gotta say. If you're gonna come through, join the chat, interact. We love that. You can find me on Twitter at TheKylieWinfrey, Instagram at TheKylieWinfrey, and then Kingdom Cast is Kingdom Cast with two Ks. So look us up. Thank you guys so much for having me on. This was so fun. You guys are amazing. Make sure you guys are liking and subscribing to Kingdom Queens. Like the video, like all their videos. They're amazing. And get with all these girls, follow all these girls on Twitter because they always have great things to say.
And we feel the same way about Kylie. So make sure you're following Kingdom Cast and Kylie and all the guys because we love the guys over there. And guys as in people, not just guys, you know.
Real quick, my pipe dream of Eckler to the Lions is probably over because the Lions just signed Bears David Montgomery.
Yeah, I saw that.
Interesting.
Pipe dream quickly over.
Dang it.
Well, guys, free agency is going to be kicking off officially tomorrow. So I'm sure all the chaos that we've already experienced is only going to get even crazier. So we love that you guys join us each and every week. We go live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. Please make sure you go and follow our at Kingdoms Queens Twitter so you can find out everywhere you can watch the show and keep up with us every single day. Keep following along for all the free agency. It's going to be crazy. So until next time, your queens have spoken.
Bye.